Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer, and many of us have been, at one time or another, freelancers. But how many of us are giggers? In the New York Times yesterday, Natasha Singer took a look at the emerging gig economy, and maybe it's best described as the task-based economy, a growing class of American worker who cobbles together small, one-time jobs using online markets like TaskRabbit, Lyft, and Instacart, deliver groceries in the morning, drive someone to the airport at noon, help someone install their air conditioner at the end of the day, and hope it all adds up to a real income. Natasha Singer, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Anna.
So you profiled one woman in your piece, Jennifer Gundry, who lives outside of Boston. Am I pronouncing her last name correctly?
It's Gidry.
Gidry. Jennifer Gidry, who lives outside of Boston. Can you describe the way that she cobbles together her income?
She is a mother of three. She's 35. She gets up at 3:30 in the morning. She goes down to her driveway. She vacuums her car and washes her car because she drives for three ride-sharing services, Uber, Lyft, and Sidecar. And so after she's got her car ready in the pitch dark, she carefully goes back upstairs trying not to wake her family. And she goes to her home office and she turns on the apps for all three ride-sharing services. And while she's waiting for a ride request, she pulls up the other services she works for. So she also works for TaskRabbit and she pulls up that and sees if she has any new gigs. She's also does private chef gigs that she finds on Craigslist, so she checks that. She works for secret shopper services where she goes around and rates the service at places like Starbucks, so she checks for that. And then when she gets a ping, a ride request, she immediately shuts down the rest of the stuff, goes down to her car, and picks up the first person. And she gets up really early because she figures that at 4 in the morning, people who want a Lyft are likely to be business travelers going to the airport. And that's a really good ride. She could make $35 in maybe 70 minutes going to the airport and back. And then Uber or Lyft takes a 20% commission. So she's going to make $28 less the gas. And working for all these different companies is extremely unpredictable. And so getting up that early is one of the ways she tries to mitigate the lack of ability to control when she's going to get a gig, you know, and how often.
So she gives people rides for money. She gives people private, cooks for them as a private chef. She does assorted tasks through TaskRabbit, which is an online marketplace basically of all sorts of different tasks, from picking up dry cleaning to putting together IKEA furniture and on and on. How did she start? How did she get to the place where she's waking up at 3:30 in the morning to do this? Did it start as a way to make some extra income as a mom? You said she had three kids, or did she lose more reliable work and this was a solution?
Yes. She used to be the chief accountant at a small company, and she has a child who's almost six. So about 6 years ago, when she was about to give birth, the company asked her to work like 70 hours a week, and they wouldn't be flexible, and she knew she was going to have to take care of a newborn, so she ended up leaving that job. And at the same time, she had an injury. She was in training for the Navy in 2000, and she hurt her back and hip. So she was walking around with a cane. Sometimes she had to use a wheelchair. She had reduced mobility. And so she was trying to look for something that both fit her childcare schedule and that fit her reduced mobility situation. And she was looking for part-time work, and she couldn't find any. So she started doing these individual task things. And very quickly, you know, a few years ago, things like TaskRabbit, the odd jobs marketplace, appeared. In fact, it started in Boston in 2008 as a service called runmyerrand.com. And then last year, she started driving for some of these ride-sharing platforms like Lyft and Uber. And she really enjoys it because she feels like she gets to choose what she's doing when. And she can drive early in the morning, come home at 7, wake the kids, make them breakfast, spend a few hours with her youngest son, and then she could go out in the afternoon and do TaskRabbit gigs, put together people's furniture, weed their gardens, hang paintings. She also baby-proofs cabinets. She's cleared out people's storage spaces. She's done accounting for them. And so she likes the variety of it and the ability to control her schedule. But the problem is that the platforms, these marketplaces, places set the rules, and they change them all the time. So, for example, last month, TaskRabbit overhauled its system for how clients find workers. And in the immediate aftermath of that, she got no new offers. So suddenly this stream of income that might have been $200 or $300 or $400 a week disappeared. And the workers who work for these platforms have no say and no recourse. Lyft and Uber dropped their prices by 30%. Lyft decided that to compensate drivers for the prices going down for passengers, they would stop charging drivers a 20% commission. So drivers felt like, okay, the prices are down, but the commission is gone. It's sort of a wash. And now Lyft has reinstated its commission. And so part of the problem is you're trading stability, income stability, but also sort of business practice stability for the flexibility aspect.
And ability to negotiate face-to-face with your employer. And listeners, we're taking your calls. Are you a part of this task-based economy? Are you cobbling together a full-time work through TaskRabbit, Lyft, Airbnb, or whatever? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. We want to hear about the challenges, how it compares to a quote-unquote normal job where you work more reliable hours, and what have you noticed are the policy implications in your life? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Nandini is calling in from Harlem. Hi.
Hi. I graduated from college 18 months ago and have not yet been able to find a full-time job, and I actually find the term task-based economy a misnomer. It's more of a I can't find real work, so I'm doing odd jobs to make ends meet. And I use TaskRabbit, or I did. I got rid of it a couple of weeks ago because it's not enough. It is actually no way to make a living. I had more than a dozen jobs floating around every week, very few of them which were regular. I served dinner to the wealthy. I cleaned homes. I did whatever I could that didn't require swinging a hammer or driving, because I'm not good at either. And it doesn't work at all. TaskRabbit recently revamped their website, so I can no longer see tasks posted. I can't contact someone who needs help and tell them why I'm good for the job and my experience with that sort of work. Now, only the people posting work can contact me, which means I might never work again. Also, TaskRabbit very helpfully takes off 20% of whatever you earn. So even if you charge, say, $13, which I think is reasonable for certain tasks, you only take home $11. And it's a very demoralizing experience. None of it is regular. You don't get work unless you're on your phone all the time. And they've recently just made it very difficult to do it, so I got rid of it entirely.
So you said it feels like it's not a gig economy. You said it feels like it's when I can't find other work economy. Does it feel different for you than the usual post-college time of freelancing and doing some temp work to fill in the gaps until you land more regular work, or does it feel different?
No, in fact, I wish it was a stopgap measure, because it doesn't feel like that at all. If it was a stopgap measure, you know, it would help me make ends meet. I do, at my peak of using TaskRabbit, I had 10 to 12 jobs a week, but that wasn't enough. And, you know, if you're taking 20% off whatever I take home, that goes right away. I tried to do freelance anything, but even most publications, I write primarily, most publications don't have a freelance budget. And no one wants to hire anyone part-time or full-time or paid internship. So even trying to get by on odd jobs 18 months after I graduated, I haven't found a solution. It's extremely frustrating.
So what are you doing now? You said you dropped using TaskRabbit a couple of weeks ago. What are you going to do to make up the bit of income that you were making from TaskRabbit?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I have a couple of TaskRabbit gigs with employers who liked me enough to keep me on. So I do work for them during the week. I worked in a bookshop for 5 years, so I still do that a couple of shifts a week. And I thought I had gotten away from sitting at my desk for 8 hours a day trying to apply for real work, because that was equally demoralizing, just in a different way. But now I'm back to doing that. I'm sitting in the NYU library applying to everyone I've ever worked for a job.
Hmm. So rather than investing your time in doing tasks, now you're investing your time in a concentrated job search. Thanks for your call, and best of luck to you. Natasha, how common is this story? How many people in America are trying to make ends meet with internet-based gig or task marketplaces?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was really interested in this caller story because that's the story I kept hearing over and over again. And somebody on Twitter said it's not the sharing economy, it's the scrounging economy.
Hmm.
So we don't know exactly how many people work and find gigs through online sites and apps. What we do know is, for example, Lyft, the ride-sharing service, says it has more than 60,000 drivers. TaskRabbit says it has about 30,000 taskers. We know from the Bureau of Labor Statistics that last month in the United States, they estimated that 7.5 million workers were working part-time because they said they couldn't find full-time jobs. And then there's a private company that provides business services to independent contractors called MBO Partners, and they estimate that 17.7 million Americans last year worked more than half the time as independent contributors, a percentage of which are gig workers. 17 million, yeah.
And are they concentrated mostly in urban areas?
I think that there's a whole range. Obviously, as the previous caller mentioned, you know, there's a whole cohort of college students or young graduates who are doing this. There are a lot of retirees who are doing this. And there are people like Ms. Guidry in my story who lost their full-time job who are trying to cobble together an income out of these one-off gigs.
And what is the recourse when the policies change on sites like TaskRabbit? Do you see people who are, you know, regular contributors and doing tasks kind of banding together on listservs and doing Twitter protests or anything like that?
It's extremely problematic because they have no recourse. If you read the terms of service for these companies, it basically says that they can take you off the platform at any time for any reason. And in sort of gig economy lingo, it's called being deactivated. And you can appeal, but often you get an email back that says, you know, that's the end for you, basically. And they don't have to tell you why. And, you know, with certain companies, you get rated. Are you a good driver or not? And if you have a low rating, you can be deactivated, but others you could just be removed from the platform. So occasionally people will band together and protest. So for example, Uber, the ride-sharing service, requires drivers to use an Uber iPhone that has the Uber app on it. They can't download the app onto their own phone. They have to use this phone. And yet it didn't make outgoing calls. So they were using drivers, their personal phone, to call passengers. And at some point earlier this year, Uber decided that it was going to charge drivers $10 a week to use the company phone. And if you're making $200 a week and you have to pay $10 a week for a phone that you're required to use, that didn't seem fair to a lot of drivers. And they did object, and then Uber decided not to institute this $10 a week usage fee.
Hey, Ellen from Manhattan is calling in with a reminder that there are the workers for these sites, and then there are also the consumers who rely on them. Ellen, you use one of these sites?
I do. I feel so strange hearing the name TaskRabbit as I turned the radio on, because I've gone from knowing nothing about these places to, in the last 3 weeks, to knowing a great deal about them. I hired two workers, neither one from TaskRabbit. I moved off TaskRabbit to another organization called Agent Anything, which hasn't quite caught up to TaskRabbit in terms of its bureaucracy and the kinds of complaints that you're hearing about, that I heard about from the workers who I hired as well. But the need is there. I mean, I'm a senior person, and I was giving a party, and all of a sudden the errands that I needed to do were overwhelming and beyond me, and I you know, typed in errands, and up came these places. And the two people that I was able to hire for errands and for some physical work around the house and putting together furniture and all that, these were wonderful people, young people, and both of them out of college. They kind of were sneaking in, I guess. I don't quite, you know, they were just out of college or recently out of college and certainly deserving of some work. So my point is, you know, the need is there. There are people like me who are desperate for help with this kind of thing. And it just seems a shame that there can't be some way to do this better.
Ellen, did you exchange contact information with the young people that you liked the way that they did the errands for you?
Yes, and just... I did, but I did contact Agent Anything first when I wanted to rehire one of the young ladies a few days later, and they never responded. So I took that as an okay signal for me to call her on my own, and she also didn't know what procedure. She was fairly new to the organization. She didn't know what procedure I was supposed to follow in order to rehire her through the agency. So we went off campus.
Uh-huh.
And we worked that way, and I didn't feel, wonderful about it. I I'm a rules and regulations kind of person, but I on the other hand, when you hear about what's going on with TaskRabbit, it's a shame. The need is there. It shouldn't be that the only organizations out there are taking advantage of the workers.
Thank you for your call, Ellen. Natasha, did you hear about that process of you get connected through an online marketplace and then you have these informal networks of people who hire you by just sending you a text directly and the companies then don't get a cut?
I did interview people who got some gigs through an online site or app and then had private arrangements with those people afterwards. But some people who use those marketplaces regularly to find gigs are worried about doing that because if they get outed somehow, again, they'll be taken off the platform. I think the larger issue we have to understand is that TaskRabbit, Uber, Lyft, Instacart are not employers. They see themselves simply as arenas and as connectors. And as connectors, they don't feel they have any obligation in terms of the things we think of as regular benefits of jobs, right? Like payroll deductions for Social Security, mm-hmm. employers' liability, paid vacations, disability pay. And yet they're behaving like de facto employers. And so the question is, what could be done since hundreds of thousands of people are finding work this way to put in some basic protections for the people who are working, right? Who are workers even if they're not technically employed by these platforms.
And did you reach out to the platforms with these concerns and what did you hear back?
It was very interesting. TaskRabbit has recently instituted a site-wide minimum wage of $15 an hour. Which is a really great thing. They've also introduced insurance of $1 million per task that covers both the tasker and the client for damage to property or personal injury. They said that they had recently started providing access to discounted insurance and accounting services to taskers. But they also said, as an industry, we're only at the beginning of thinking about how to help freelancers and we need to do more. And Lyft said that they had recently started a partnership with Freelancers Union, which is a big advocacy group based in New York, to offer Lyft drivers access to the Freelancers Union's health insurance platforms. But as an industry, the sharing services or gig brokers or whatever you want to call them have to kind of think more deeply about if you have all these communities of workers, do they have any rights? Should there be an appeal process if you're getting deactivated? Should there be an ombudsman who gets to answer those complaints? If you're going to change your rates every week about what passengers pay, how's that going to affect your driver base?
And Isabella from Little Neck, Queens is calling in for some advice. Isabella, you're currently unemployed?
Yes. Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I went from having two jobs, one full-time and one part-time in the evening, to having no jobs for now 2 months. And I just turned the radio. I mean, I had the radio on. I listened to Brian Lehrer a lot, and I turned it on, and I just discovered this TaskRabbit. But I think my question changed now because of what I've been listening to while being on hold, because I see that you have to be computer savvy and do texting, and I don't text. I just don't do it. And the computer is like, yeah, basic computer. But I guess that would be my first questions. Do you have to be really computer, like technically inclined with that?
Yeah.
And have a phone and text all the time to get, work?
Natasha, how about that? What about workers who are looking for extra income, have lost full-time work, but don't have the fluency with texting and smartphones in every pocket to keep up with these tasks coming in?
I think it's extremely difficult because many of these new services are based on apps and they do work via smartphones, and you do have to be always available to click, like, yes, I'll take that gig, or to text the passenger, or I followed a delivery service called Favor, and they're constantly clicking and texting the client to say, yes, I've picked up your burrito. Yes, I'm in my car. Yes, I will be at your house in 10 minutes. And it is very technologically based.
Because I wouldn't be able to keep up with that because I just don't text, and I would probably be the one person who would not get the job or the task because I couldn't text fast enough or something, you know. So, but anyway, my original question is maybe for another person is, did you have a startup kit or how do I get started? Was the question I called in about first of all, you know?
Yeah. So, looking for work. Well, best of luck, Isabella. And Natasha, having done this reporting, any advice for people like Natasha who aren't comfortable with, is there any way they can, an entry point into the gig economy to do odd jobs that don't require that level of technical fluency?
You know, there are some sites like MechanicalTurk.com, which is on the internet. So it's not a phone-based thing. And you can go and see what gigs are available, and you can do it, you know, via computer and not via smartphone.
All right. Best of luck again to you, Isabella. And finally, Natasha Singer, looking at sort of this as a new frontier in our economy and how we think about what work looks like, what do you think the implications are for our education system?
I think the implications for our education system are that we need to have multiple abilities and we need to be flexible. And I interviewed Sarah Horowitz in my article, who's the founder of the Freelancers Union, and she basically said you have to be nimble, you have to be flexible if you want to survive in this economy. You have to have multiple gigs. You have to have your eggs in multiple baskets lest one or two fall through.
Natasha Singer wrote about the gig economy in yesterday's New York Times. Thanks so much for joining us on WNYC.
Thanks for having me.